Okay, so we've been talking a lot about age lately. I think, you know, your birthday is coming up.
Yes.
In terms of this, you know, shout out to the Aquarians at the time of this recording, right? Mm-hmm. And at the time of this release, really. This is very in step. And so I've been thinking a lot about this. And, you know, so we're both 30 right now. One of us is soon to be 31.
Very soon.
I've been talking about this with people being like 30 and 31. And here's the thing. We're very young. Like, we're young people.
I know. Like, we act like our life is over, but we're about to be adults for like decades and decades and decades.
At some point, it might be like, God, is this over yet? We can't know. Mm-hmm. But so I just want to put our age in the context of this, because I've been thinking a lot about just like some bogus shit we learned in elementary school that's been fully debunked now.
This is my favorite stuff.
Right. And I've just been like, we're so young for there to already be stuff that people are like, that is wrong what they taught you. And I just like to pull a couple to the surface just real quick.
Please.
I think I recall it being in second grade when we covered like tastes of like salty and sweet and sour and like the different parts of your tongue that like taste those. Okay. The tongue map is bogus. Like, we know this, right? And yeah, it's bullshit. And the scientific, like, you know, gaffe here that came to be, it's actually because there was a mistranslation of like a German like student. It was like 1901, their like, you know, PhD dissertation, whatever. It was mistranslated. And so people are like, oh, this is like a tongue map. But and then like we taught that to people. It's been debunked for a really long time. I think they realized, here's the thing that threw me for a loop too. I was reading about the tongue map because I'm on a flavor journey right now.
Yes.
And people were like, yeah, this is bullshit. And I was like, wow. They realized, like, so the mistranslation happened in like 1901 when this dissertation happened, right? They realized it was bullshit in the 70s. I'm like, why did I learn that in the 90s? Why was I taught that?
Let me draw a through line to the Bible, something that I've also been debunking lately. You know, things get lost in translation and then we just keep passing them on, keep indoctrinating people. I don't know. I see a through line there for sure. But I definitely was skeptical of the tongue map, as you say, when I was a child, because they always told us that you taste sweet on the very tip of your tongue. And I never once in my life experienced that. And I would try. I would like lick ice cream or like candies with like just the tip of my tongue and be like, I can't taste it at all. I taste nothing.
So Let me throw this out there just to give you a little bit more tongue info. There is a little bit of tongue stuff, guys. There is a little bit of like ish to like sweet and salty in the front end of your tongue that basically it's like ever so slightly like more sensitive. There are like more receptors for those flavors. While like your soft palate, so like and the roof of your mouth, on those you can pick up because of the receptors, like minute levels of like more bitterness, but you're tasting everything like on the whole tongue and palate. It's not like only your tip, like just the tip tastes sweetness. Okay. Like that's not how that works.
Let me tell you, and then, the tip of my tongue doesn't taste shit because it's ruined by my permanent retainers. Shout out to anybody else who has those.
Maybe also smoking. Maybe also, what if you're a non-taster? You know how there are super tasters?
I really
25% of the population. Well, non-tasters can taste, but like it not as much as, so there are people who are non-tasters, that's like 25% of the population.
Oh my God.
Then there are tasters, that's 50%, and then 25% is like super tasters. So, I mean, non-tasters, it's not that they don't taste anything, but if you have people in your life who can eat like exorbitant amounts of like spice and heat and stuff, they're probably a non-taster the reason that they can deal with some of that, it's not that, again, you're getting hung up on non-taster and getting scared for these people. They can taste things.
No, I'm just thinking that I am a non-taster, perhaps. Like, now I'm reflecting on, like, the amount of, like, salt and various things that I, and that, yes.
You do oversalt your food. And so I feel like, I mean, maybe you're doing it because you're putting up with, like, you're less sensitive to it. I just feel really, like, struck by some of this dumb stuff. I'm obviously very interested in the fucking tongue, but stuff that just, like, complete bullshit.
We just
bullshit.
Continue, I mean, to learn?
Don't get us started on the food pyramid. That was taught to me in schools.
God. I know. And that's not okay. That's like absolutely just like a weird marketing thing that like ruined generations of people's diets.
Well, the thing you need to know about the food pyramid, and here's where you go, oh, quick conflict of interest, is that it wasn't written by the Department of Health. It was written by the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah. Everyone sit with that for a second. Exactly.
Also, I mean, but the thing is, they go like, okay, like have like, you know, 6 to 11 servings of grain and pasta. And you're like, what the fuck? But also, they don't tell you like America's what a serving producing. Size is.
That's very well, true.
And you know what? A bagel's fucking 5.
Yeah. So it's always 5.
Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
Ugh, welcome to FUPDATE Edition. Maybe I'll make that a regular thing that I sing of Why Are You Like This? Hello.
I think that you
Hello,
should.
Season Sixers. Yeah, all right. More music. I don't know if people want me to stop singing on this podcast, but if that is how you feel, don't let me know because it probably won't happen. I mean, you could let me know.
And
like,
definitely
don't
write it in the comments.
I'll cry. I'll there will be tears. Tears will be shed. That's you know, Jamie giving you ways to hurt my feelings in Los Angeles.
And that's Austin Williams helping us debunk things we learned about food and the way we consume it in elementary school in Chicago.
I just feel really struck by that of like
it's
wait
indoctrination
a minute,
y'all. I know I'm hooked on this religious shit right now because I'm unpacking it, but like it's the same thing. Like you teach kids a bunch of bullshit that's not real when they're young, and then they grow up and keep doing that forever, and
yeah,
it is a conflict of interest.
Well, I wonder what the dumb shit is now that's being taught that we'll debunk in like 20 years. And I also wonder, like, I'm here to be like, yeah, this stuff about the tongue is wrong, the food pyramid is bullshit. But I'm like, what is the stuff that I'm not unpacking that I should be?
And what is the technology?
What haven't I clocked as crap?
What is the technology that's secretly hurting us also? Because, you know, we always find out like 30 years later that like women in that factory that painted the watches with the glowing stuff, painted their teeth. I'm doing a very
mercury.
Poor job. Thank you.
You're talking about Marie Curie and like the Mercury girl. Because they all worked in the watch factories, but then they used it like as cosmetics, and they didn't know it was bad for them. And whoo, just think about painting your teeth with that stuff. Wow. Then the dental trauma.
People did it anyway. So we're not here to talk about dental trauma. But
thank God. I'll have to like take that week off if ever that's an episode title. That's one of my largest fears.
It was a scenario I gave you in a Halloween episode once, I believe. Dental experience.
I think I was actually like a little mad. Yeah, it was a haunted house thing. I was like, I can't even think about this. Like, you guys, I'm so afraid of like things happening to my teeth.
I don't love it either.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so now that I will tell you that you're open
about
the taste
about?
And stuff, I think I can make a segue. I'm going to try. So, speaking of like non-tasters, I wanted to talk about brain fog. I know that doesn't
little
seem
brain
related.
Fog update.
As we get into it, I think it will reveal itself to how it could be related. But yeah, I just like fucking brain fog. Like I have it. I think that you have it. Probably most people listening are experiencing some level of brain fog through these COVID times. Like whether you've contracted COVID or not, like, you know, it's an independent factor. But I don't know, have you been experiencing like a lack of mental clarity lately by chance?
Yeah, I think so. I think too because I've been you know, less social, as I would assume, you know, most people have been during these times, or I hope you've been maybe a little less social. But when I'm having conversations then with people, like if it's on, you know, Zoom or FaceTime or whatever, I find that I'm having a harder time maintaining my train of thought than usual. Like if I, you know, start a story, but I like segue or something, I have a really hard time remembering what my point was. And in some ways, I feel like I just haven't flexed those conversational muscles as much, but like my brain isn't moving any slower. And so I'm having a hard time like
you're thinking faster than you can talk.
Yeah, I think so, maybe, which I honestly is a lifelong problem.
It's a common problem for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me too, though. It's fine.
I just, I find myself losing what my point was in a conversation real frequently.
Absolutely. And like in, yes, work situations, in social situations, you and I recorded a guest episode not that long ago that I was like very excited about. It was an incredible episode, but I kept like thinking of something. And then as soon as I would start to like say it, after the first couple of sentences, it was like the end of my sentence had fully left my head. And it's just really fucking frustrating. And it feels like kind of embarrassing. I don't know. I keep, and in work, I feel like a little embarrassed about it. Like a couple times I've had to be like, I'm sorry. I just like, I'm not really thinking clearly today. I don't know what I meant.
No, that's real. I think like I've definitely had conversations where I'm like, man, I like really... Later, I'm like, that was a point that I wanted to say, make, even if it's been like a, you know, us recording that I've been like, somehow it completely left me. You know, I don't remember what it was. And yeah, that's super frustrating. I think I felt that a little bit at work. I think at work, and maybe I need to take this more to my personal life, but I don't want my personal life to feel like work. No. But I've done more of like the preemptive, like, oh, if I need to have this important conversation, I've been more, diligent about like making a couple notes and writing down my thoughts beforehand so that I don't forget something, which truly in like I feel like non-corona times when I feel a little less scattered or whatever is not something I typically do. I'll do it like occasionally for like, you know, something that's like a big conversation, but not for like one-off, like, hey, I just need to talk to you about like one kind of insignificant thing real quick. I've never had to make notes for that before, you know?
I haven't either, but I am same finding that like if I want to get anything accomplished, like no matter how simple in a conversation, I have to have like accountability notes for myself, or else like I'll get in there and I think a mix of like my brain just feeling exhausted all the time, and we'll get into that in a second, and also like a lack of flexing social muscles, and like I have quite a bit of social anxiety sometimes, and so like that just kind of clouds my brain and nothing happens.
Do you worry that post COVID you will have more social anxiety than you had before?
Yes. That is like something that I've been thinking about a lot, especially in the past couple of weeks, because I do feel like now as we enter like this second year with like new waves, I am starting to feel finally like a lot of trappedness and like a lot of like energy drop. And I feel like I had the advantage of like that I moved during the pandemic, and so that provided some novelty for my brain. But now that is not happening, I'm very aware of like the ways that I'm starting to feel incredibly socially inept. I feel like increasingly awkward even with coworkers, which is weird because like I see them on calls almost every day, but like there's no reason other than like my isolation and mental fatigue why I should feel awkward around them more than I used to.
Sure. No, that's interesting. I feel like I've been thinking about a lot of things too that I'm like, huh, like, is this going to be harder when this is over? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. If anything, I feel like I'm like a little bit worried that I'm going to be like more set in my ways, because I'm just like, I'm catering to no one it really in most circumstances because I live alone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how will this be? Like, I don't know. And
suddenly become incredibly inflexible.
Yeah, I feel like we're all going to have to be like real gentle with everyone. And I feel like being really gentle with everyone, that actually might be hard for me. I know that I need to, but I think that's a little hard for me.
Yeah. No, and everyone's going to have like different emotional needs and like probably like different styles of fighting even with friends, like when we really kind of get back into it. Because as much as there is maybe like friendship tension from time to time, if you know, you have kind of different COVID standards than a friend, there's pressure to maybe do more than you're comfortable with, or like not,
Or feel judged, or like have to tell your friends, no, I'm not doing that.
Or be like, it's not that I don't love you, but like I just cannot do this right now. But I wonder on the outside of this, like when everything is like, quote, fine, there will also be a similar, I think, social stumble where some people are just not ready to socialize. But that's going to be really hard to say, I think.
Yeah.
because it's like, well, why not? Like, we've been waiting all this time. Feel, don't you miss me?
Right. Like, isn't that person going to be like the person that people are like, are they just like not over it? I'm like, well, it's, you know, this, like, I wonder, you know?
Not over it. Okay. So let's put like some parameters around like what brain fog is. So
yeah.
Quick definition from healthline.com. Thanks, guys.
What's up?
They tell us that brain fog isn't a medical condition itself, but rather a symptom of other medical conditions.
Okay.
It's a type of cognitive dysfunction involving, so if you're having these, you're probably experiencing brain fog, memory problems, lack of mental clarity, poor concentration, inability to mm-hmm. focus. And some people describe it also as mental fatigue. I think I used that term earlier. And depending
that checks out.
Yeah. And depending on the severity of brain fog, it can, of course, interfere with work or school, but isn't typically like a permanent fixture in people's life. And I've had it come and go throughout my life. I think more in times of high stress than other times.
I mean, like when I went to college. I experienced it when I was concussed.
Or that. Yeah. Yeah. But I wanted to get into a little bit like just kind of like how and why we're probably all experiencing this right now.
Okay.
So like psychological reasons, and like maybe this is obvious, but right now, whether we have COVID or not, like we're all experiencing the mental fatigue of like all the extra things that we have to remember all the time and having to like constantly adapt to like ever-changing information is truly exhausting for our brains. And the uncertainty of all of that is activating like the fight or flight response. And so if you think about it, like we are, and according to healthline.com and many other articles, we kind of are experiencing like some collective trauma right now, and we like
sure
may come out of this with like some collective PTSD. And in the same way,
there are just gonna be a lot of things that I think are like hard for groups, you know. It like not just like individuals, but I feel like, I don't know, the way we're talking about this too, you may feel alone on an island at times, you
yes
know?
Yes, and of course you do, and how could you not? And that's like
right
making it worse. But we are like really probably all feeling this. So like in our brains, like our limbic systems are like running on overdrive. Like we have way too much adrenaline all the time. We have way too much cortisol, which is a hormone that makes you hungry, but is also like a fear hormone. And what can
this explains the amount of kettle chips in this home right now. Go on.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of like comfort eating, so like our brains are freaking out. We're like having our fight or flight response activated like many times throughout the day, every single day, like CNN alert, ding, fight or flight response. Like it's too many times. And so
turn off those push notifications. That's my first piece of advice.
Yeah, I should probably do that. But
oh, that wasn't even specifically for you. But now that I know you have push notifications on news stories, I like really advise it in an unsolicited, but I'm giving you this advice kind of way. Yeah, definitely turn that shit off.
Yeah. Anyway, so comfort eating, that actually can probably help brain fog a little bit.
Oh really? Okay.
If we're choosing,
I like this.
If we're like choosing our snacks wisely, like obviously people will link like MSG and artificial sweeteners to brain fog. So like maybe watch out for those guys. But
oh, interesting.
But we're having so a cortisol surge, which is like we're scared, but we're also kind of hungry. And all of these like adrenaline hormones and things running through all day is exhausting. And in the normal world where we're socializing, where I don't know, we're receiving like small bits of praise throughout the day at work because we're in an office, or just like having like pleasant chit chat with people here and there. We're getting,
it's like funny how affirmed you can feel at work just because like people say hi to you in
or
the
like
hallway
like
or
your
something.
Outfit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Oh, I miss people liking what I'm wearing.
Right.
Mm.
And
now I don't even get dressed. Okay.
I know. So what we're missing is we would normally get dopamine hits from all of that. So say it's a rough time, like pretend that like this January when like all the political shit was hitting the fan, pretend that like COVID wasn't happening and we okay. were all like going into work and like socializing as usual. We would have mm-hmm. more dopamine flowing from those interactions than we did because we were in isolation without like happy interactions with other people. And so we get this like great disparity, like between like our dopamine and like our happy like hormones and neurotransmitters, mm-hmm. and the ones that like make us feel freaked out. And over time, like that mismatch like makes our brain really exhausted, and we experience like a slowing of our thinking. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, a great way to get a little dopamine hit, eat a piece of chocolate. I don't know. Make yourself a nice piece of fish. I don't know what you like, but like eating things that are good for you can, like, obviously eating is like pleasurable, so you experience like a dopamine surge.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like, I don't know, the stress eating is like not the worst thing as long as we're like making good choices, and I thought that that was interesting.
It's interesting too about this fog, and then also just I feel like it's worth mentioning too, just you spelling out how the emotions you may be feeling about, you know, like a fucking coup are different than they would be if your life in the day-to-day felt normal and more stimulated by human interaction. And if I could give this like a potential like light positive, my mom and I were talking about this a lot this summer with the, you know, spotlight being on BLM, mm-hmm. and how like this is not the beginning of like Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, why weren't people watching Ferguson? And honestly, it's because there's so much less going on. And my mom and I remember talking about it and saying, like, if anything positive comes out of the timing of this, it's that more people are going to pay attention because they're not doing anything yes. else. And maybe to some point, like, this everything of like the political turmoil in January and like, you know, the eyes on like the Georgian elections and how people were mm-hmm. getting involved there, maybe was probably affected because people weren't doing anything else. So there is some sort of a juxtaposition there that you could be like, okay, well, maybe some things that are long overdue for like a, you know, a lot of light being shed on mm-hmm. them, that's happening. But, and I really hate to like, I really don't want to hear anybody saying like silver lining in reference to like a pandemic. I'm just like, well, let's all just calm down. But I do think that's an interesting thing that we can be like, well, maybe this would have played out really differently and not as many people would have been talking about it, paying attention to it, etc. Now, I'm not saying it felt good, you know, the politics or any of it, but there is that. Like, I'll give it that.
Yeah, there absolutely was. And I don't know. It is hard to say silver lining, but I do agree. And hopefully it can also...
I just want something like syntactically better than that. That doesn't be like, you know, millions of people have died, but let me tell you something I think's good. Right, you know, like right. I'm like, well, let's rethink that. Well,
I
mean,
instead of silver lining, I think we could say that like this is a horrible tragedy and a trauma that we yes. have all experienced together. But we could try to learn some things from it since it
there
is
you go.
Horrible. And like,
yeah, there we yeah, go.
Hopefully also like maybe one of those things could be that we learn a little more about mental health, because I think as much as we are all isolated, I think that people who have never experienced depression, brain fog, anxiety are experiencing it right now. And I do hope that that leads to like greater compassion, understanding, openness about mental health stuff.
That's really real. I've talked to some people, you know, during these times, especially I would say generationally, like folks who, you know, qualify as boomers and stuff.
Sure.
And people being like, I don't think I've ever been depressed in my life, but I think that's what I'm experiencing. Which one is like a really sad, like tough mm-hmm. thing to hear. But also I'm like, wow, like here we are, you know?
Yeah. No, I have had family members describe to me how they feel. And I know that these are people who are like maybe not super in touch with like their own mental health, and I don't think have sure. experienced depression before.
Yeah.
And the way that they describe like the way that they're feeling, I'm like, oh, you're depressed, so you're depressed for the first time in your yeah. life. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want it to happen to anyone. But,
No.
To your point, terrible tragedy, but maybe like greater empathy than later.
Yeah. I mean, like, at the very least, we can hope for that, right?
Yeah.
We could hope.
Yeah. I hope that's what I hope for myself is that I can exercise, like, patience as everyone when, you know, we return to air quotes normal or something, that I can have like patience for how everyone's dealing with things differently. Because mm-hmm. I'm just going to own sometimes being patient when everyone is like dealing with things differently is not always my strong suit.
It's really hard. Own that. And that's okay. It's but really at least hard you're aware to do. Of it.
Yeah. I don't need to express it, you know, frequently, but I feel it sometimes that I'm like, ugh. And I, and it's not because the other person sucks. It's because, like, I just don't want to be in that place, too. You know?
Absolutely.
It's not, like, a judgment call on them. It's, like, me being avoidant, if you will.
I will.
Like, you know? But I'm like, yeah, I hope that I can be more graceful in that area.
No, me too.
For sure.
And I also think that, like, in speaking of patience, and, like, increasing brain fog for everyone, just to bring it back a little bit, I think that... Mm-hmm. What I would like to ask for from like friends and family members, what I would like to also give to them is maybe
an
like
offering?
Conversational patience, because I think like there's like I see people like lose their train of thought so many times, or like if someone is interrupted in a meeting and we come back to them, like they cannot remember. And so just trying to like give more space for people to like get their thoughts out, because I think it's taking everyone a little bit longer.
That's a really good point that I think will be hard to get across, like in a macro way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I don't think that that's going to be everyone. It's just something that I'm going to be aware of.
No, I think that's a good reminder that I think, again, I'm like, yeah, that's a thing to think about. That is tough. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, as I mentioned, we are all experiencing the psychological effects of coronavirus, and much of that is manifesting as brain fog. But I did want to touch on, because it's just, I think it's interesting, that brain fog is also a physical symptom of COVID. And it's something that I have heard like anecdotally from friends who have had it, and then they've reported it going away like maybe a month after they recover. And so I found an article on a henryford.com, and like forgive who it's named after, but it is like a pretty good reputable site. But you know, Henry Ford.
This
was
is
an
interesting, right? I'm interested in I'm interested in fucking henryford.com, but I'm interested in this talk of physical symptom, because when you mention it, the first thing that I think is like when you talk about brain fog in relation to any type of like medical or like health thing is people talk about pregnancy brain and people also oftentimes talk about chemo brain and like when you're going through chemotherapy, and those things are sometimes kind of looped. Listen, as someone who's been through chemo, I'm just going to say there are a lot of things about it that are oddly medically similar to being pregnant without the child bit. Just like the things you're not allowed to do. Yeah, it's just like I used to tell people that I worked with, I'd be like, just pretend I'm pregnant. The things pregnant women can't do, I can't do.
Like,
people were like,
oh. Sushi and stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, cat litter, sushi, all sorts of, you know,
pasteurized
foods. Yeah, you know, whatever. Just all sorts of things. Anyway, it's neither here nor there, but both of those are conditions that people say, like pregnancy brain or chemo brain, that are like these names for like brain fog. I'm like, can we have like COVID brain? Can we give some syntax to this? I want to hear what you have to say.
So yes, and that is sort of the colloquial name for it, is COVID brain.
Okay.
But henryford.com tells us that the reason why, and I will paraphrase because it's long, but you know how...
I assume Henry's long-winded asshole. Okay.
You know how one of the symptoms, and like most people get this symptom, even if they don't come down with it like intensely, is that they lose smell and or taste for a few days.
Right.
So...
Right, totally.
That is a sign that COVID is neuroinvasive. So like the fact that it can affect any of your senses shows that the virus is like, and this is not a scientific term, but I'm paraphrasing, kind of like able to wriggle into the brain.
No, I mean, well, I love that you described it that way, because now it sounds like this, like the, you know, the yurts from Animorph who like they're climbing in your ears and, you know, possessing you.
Yes.
But... it does make me think, like, just Huh. I don't know. There's so much to this and the mindset. I've had this conversation like ad nauseum with folks, but just like the mindset of like young people of like, oh, if I get it, I'll be fine. I'm mm-hmm. like, there's a bunch of stuff going on that we don't know what it is. Like, will you be fine? I don't know.
I don't know. And so speaking of like the long-term stuff, let's read a little mm-hmm. bit about this. Henry tells us that many people who recovered from COVID-19 have reported feeling not like themselves for a while, experiencing short-term memory loss, confusion, inability to concentrate, and just feeling like different than they did before contracting the infection. I'm assuming kind of like a cold medicine buzz vibe based on anecdotal information.
I mean, honestly, this is probably the most stressful thing I've heard about COVID.
I agree. Yeah. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to like plant this fear at all. I just thought that it was interesting that we would all be experiencing this symptom with and without COVID. Like all sharing this symptom. Yeah. And it's either physical or psychological. So at this point, it seems like about a third of patients will have some kind of neurological illness associated with COVID-19. This includes a spectrum of memory issues, brain fogs, seizures, strokes, and neuropathy, numbness in extremities, hands, and feet.
Yeah, I mean, we don't love it.
We don't. And there's like not solid evidence on like the exact percentage of patients that will experience brain fog. And also like we're, of course, learning new stuff all the time and things are getting debunked. So like maybe this information will be fake by the time this episode comes out. But I don't think so.
Right. Well, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, like the virus can induce a large scale immune response, and that immune response can cause an excessive mobilization of like white blood cells, etc. And it will destroy like cells and cause damage to other cells like the liver, brain, kidneys, etc. So basically, like our immune systems are going crazy and like breaking down some other tissues. So I just thought that that was interesting, and I'm really sorry if I've scared anyone with that. That was not the intention of this. The intention of this was to be sort of a coming together.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's, I mean, I feel like the sentimental or, you know, empathetic takeaway we were trying to express is that we hope that people can be gentle with each other. And we're talking about all these different like kind of one-off things that we're experiencing and like fogginess. And what you described is something that like in theory, everybody is probably experiencing a little bit during these times, whether they've had COVID or not. And if it, maybe that lends itself to like greater empathy, you know what I mean? And that we're all, maybe you have like a little bit of this that you could like relate to and, you know, have patience for. And maybe the takeaway again is like having more patience.
Yeah. And I really do think that it is. And it makes me wonder also if, is brain fog like a physical symptom of COVID in most patients, or are they just experiencing it as like a trauma symptom the same way that those of us who are negative for COVID are experiencing it? Like, it's hard to separate what is a psychological symptom and what is a physical symptom. The loss of taste and smell like indicates like neurological something, but I don't know. Like if you test positive for COVID and you have brain fog, it could be because you're just like stressed the fuck out like everyone else, and now you have to deal with having COVID. So I don't know.
A lot to unpack there, and we're not doctors.
And on the note of not being doctors, I do just want to like hit one more time that like the virus doesn't truly wriggle into your brain. Metaphor.
I'm sticking with the Animorphs and those yurt slugs that are just like, man, that was really dramatized well on Nickelodeon for a time period too.
You shout loved out to the Animorphs. Oh my god, I remember that.
I was here for it. I was about that life.
No, I was Power Rangers kid, and then I don't know. I never got into the
Animorphs. Honestly, I feel like I don't understand why I was into the Animorphs and you weren't, because it was about like good aliens versus. Yeah, but it was a book series.
Oh.
And it was about good aliens that these kids befriended, but then because there were bad aliens that were like controlling people, like by like slugs crawling in through their ears and
this is
their
lizard
minds.
People and also Roswell. God,
I don't know why you didn't read these books in the third grade like me. I don't know why. I should have. This seems so much more your alley of like alien mind control.
And then I'm like, is that what COVID is? I'm joking. I'm fully joking.
Listen, we're going to cut out the part where she says she's joking. We're going to leave you with horror. Okay.
Ugh. Okay. So I would be doing us a disservice if I didn't at least mention some remedies for this brain fog.
Okay.
And these are...
Wrap it up nice.
Pretty straightforward, and I'm pretty sure that you already knew them. So I'll start with the fun part and tell you that I found some supplements for brain fog. These are not recommendations. I just wanted to read you some of the titles and also tell you that Alex Jones pushes a handful of these.
Oh, God. Okay.
They are called Brain Pills, Awaken Gold, Dynamic Brain, Alpha Brain, Brain Dust... My Brain! ! 100% and Vitality Now.
I just want to know if my gold brain is somehow like related to my Centrum Silver trying to cure ED.
Fucking Centrum Silver. Oh my God.
Listen, more on Centrum Silver later this season, guys. Yep, yep. Brace yourselves.
Anyway, so like the true remedies are what you thought they were, which is just like you should sleep more. Unless you're sleeping too much, then sleep less. Get outside.
Wait, what? I know that both of those things are true, but wow, what oddly unhelpful advice. Okay. I know.
Get outside if possible, exercise, take breaks, don't consume too much pandemic related media, this podcast right now aside, turn off your phone when you can. So I read like a lot of suggestions about like taking scheduled phone breaks where maybe you just like let people know that you're not gonna have like any alerts or like answer anything for a little while, just because it's easier to unplug from the news also that way.
I've told everyone, like, in my inner sanctum this, but I've turned off all notifications on my phone except for calls and texts.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really good move.
I'm thriving with no alerts, but I was like, I had to tell my homies in my inner sanctum, because I have people that I, like, who are real good life friends that I DM as much on Instagram as I text. Yeah. And I had to be like, just an FYI. Like,
I will not
be
on
here. No longer an effective way to get a hold of me.
And then we have, as mentioned before, avoid MSG. And I just briefly wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
If you and like that also is debunked. I read an article about like how it's just like xenophobic and like a little like racist against like Japanese people, and so like
to be against MSG.
Well, yeah, MSG is like maybe actually not harmful or like causing sickness in the way that like America presented it. So
it's definitely not the like freak out in like the 90s / early aughts where people were like MSG is bad for it. No, it's not. It's fine.
Yes,
it's a flavor enhancer. It's not like consider consuming MSG as bad for you as eating Cheetos. Like, there's just fake shit in it. It's not your healthiest like seasoning, but like you're fine. Yeah,
so that's
this has absolutely been blown out of proportion.
Yes. Do you remember selling powder MSG when we worked at a market together in high school?
I knew that they stocked it. Yeah, for sure.
I always thought that was interesting. Anyway, because I had just never seen it before.
Because it's a flavor enhancer. Exactly. Again, people are like, oh my God, is there MSG in the food? And it's like, oh my God.
If you're eating artificial sweetener, then I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, it's the same. Honestly, it's all the same.
So those are like about as safe as each other, I feel like, just in the way that like I don't necessarily trust like artificial food items, but it's not going to like really hurt you the way that they made it seem. Anyway, just an interesting note.
It's fine. If you've ever eaten a Dorito, you're fine.
Yeah, pretty much any food that was like wrapped in packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Then these things I'm not doing, but I think you're doing some of them. Meditation. I heard you were doing that.
I'm doing a lot more meditating. How's that going? You know, it's fine. I do find it... I'll be honest, like at previous times when perhaps a therapist has recommended mindfulness exercises to me, I've been very resistant. Yeah, I've been very like, get out of here. I never want to see you again. But when doing them of my own volition without being instructed by the healthcare professional, I do find that it has been I think the biggest part of it that's been at least felt beneficial to me is that I've been like, oh, I strategically took this time to do like quote unquote nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm not like running about. I'm not like looking at a screen. I'm just, my eyes are closed. I'm sitting here. I'm listening to someone, you know, lead me into a period of silence and then bring me out of it. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. And
it's like when you did the hypnosis.
When I accidentally got hypnotized by Samsung, yes, that feels right. I mean, in some ways, yeah. I mean, I've done a couple where I've fully just fallen asleep during them, and I've been like, well, that was nice. But I don't know that you're supposed to fall asleep during meditation, but it happens.
I think it's fine, because you're just, like, calming your body down further and further.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, yeah, I've done a fair amount of meditating recently, which is, again, something I've traditionally been resistant to, and I'm glad that I'm doing it. I think that it is, it's like, it, to me, it feels as, like, health-wise good for me as, like, you know, stretching. Like, it's something you know you should do, but it's hard to, like, make a little, like, take 5 minutes to do.
It is hard to do that. But yeah, I think I'm gonna start trying to introduce some short like meditation times and like build up my tolerance, maybe, so to speak, because it's like really hard for me to like sit still for a few minutes, but I think I could get there. So I don't know, maybe like next update I'll have a better understanding of that, but probably not.
Maybe we'll come at you with some meditation hot takes. You can't know.
Also, apparently conscious breath work is pretty important. I will say, as someone who has been having what I would call anxiety-induced asthma attacks.
Okay.
Maybe I should do a little conscious breath work. But again, I haven't really been doing much of that. So report back later. But
seems like it could be beneficial. We'll
it seems like
back.
It could. Yeah. So basically, like, we should all try to do anything that calms our limbic system down. We want to, like, get out of the fight or flight, like, feeling. Like, feeling like everything is a threat all the time is like horrible for our bodies and brains. So.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Yeah, that's got to age it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm.
I have so many gray hairs now. Oh my God, like in the last year. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, I wonder actually statistically if people will look back at people like at certain ages who went through this time of being like, man, this really aged this demographic pretty rapidly.
I feel that it has aged me rapidly, but you know, when we all come out of this, y'all can be the judge. But yeah, that's my vibes on brain fog. I don't know, you have anything else?
No, I you know, I'm here for a little, I think my takeaways are greater empathy and maybe everyone should get on my meditation flow.
Definitely, we all should. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying about that. So,
and don't take my brain 100%.
Take everything Alex Jones is swindling. That's Jamie's advice. Don't let her try and walk it back.
No.
We'll tell you more about Centrum Silver later. But that said, guess just yeah, I don't know, hit us up on the internet with any hot tips or tricks or you know, hilarity that ensued from completely forgetting what you were talking about. And as always, you can find us on the internet via Gmail at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLT tweets. And like, good night, good morning, good day, whenever you're updating. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.